It's time now for the S Squared podcast, presented by PFC Audio Video. Here now is your host, Mike Segovia.
Welcome to the S Squared podcast. I hope you're all doing great and that life isn't throwing too many surprises at you. You know, so I've been thinking a lot about life of late, like some of the tough times that we all go through. You know, sometimes it feels like it's just one difficult trial after the next. And if that's you right now, I feel you. It kind of reminds me of the most insane family vacation I ever went on. The year was 2006, and we were going to go to a family reunion up in Canada, and we were going to drive there from Colorado. So it started out innocent enough as we headed out, heading north on Interstate 25 on our way to Canada. As we were driving up there, I fell asleep and it began to rain. And as we were heading up, I woke up to my wife screaming in our car, spinning after we hit this puddle of water. We ended up slamming into the center divider. And fortunately, nobody was injured. But our minivan, a Toyota Sienna, was totally destroyed. It was totaled. So my friend Dave drove up, helped us get all of our bags, and got us over to a rental car place where we decided to continue our trip. That was our first mistake. So the five of us, my wife and I, and three little kids at the time, all piled in a Nissan Murano, and we continued our journey. Well, it was a little bit tight, but we made do. So the trip continued, and as we were heading up there, I proceeded to get a speeding ticket. Yes, a speeding ticket. I was extremely angry, and I may have said a few choice words that I'll not repeat on the air right now. So take the ticket, throw it in the glove box, and we continued on. As I mentioned earlier, we were headed to this family reunion in Canada, my wife's side of the family, and we needed to get there on a Friday night as they were having the first gathering of this weekend reunion. Well, we were a little bit behind schedule now, and we got further behind schedule as my wife fell asleep, and I continued to drive 3 or 4 hours out of the way. Rather than going north, I started heading east towards South Dakota. By the time my wife woke up, we both came to the realization that we were about 3 to 5 hours off course. So we had to start making our way north through South Dakota. Now you may be asking, how could you get lost? Don't you have navigation? No, we didn't. We had one of those paper maps, okay? And I thought I knew where I was going, so back off. Well, I looked at the map and I found a way to get up there. So we started making our way up through South and North Dakota. We were off course about 3 to 5 hours. Well, at this time I was extremely angry and I threw the map and in slow motion, it did one of these couple circle things, you know, like a kite. And it proceeded to hit my wife in the face. That was not my finest moment. After recovering from the embarrassment, we continued on and made our way through South and North Dakota. Well, we finally got to Canada. We missed the Friday night activities as we got there really late, but we made it nonetheless. So the next day, I believe, was a Saturday. And let me tell you, it was hot as heck. 100 degrees plus. And we went to see the original farm that my wife's parents were raised on. At this point, I won't bore you with all the details, and I'll speed it up a bit. I will say that during these 2 days, my daughter fell off a horse and hurt her leg pretty bad. One of my wife's cousins got pretty sick and had some type of aneurysm, and that put a damper on the weekend. And coupled with the heat and just sheer exhaustion, that made for a pretty rough trip. Okay, so the reunion ends. It's a Sunday. and our plans were to head back home. Well, on the way back, we wanted to go to Yellowstone because we've never been to Yellowstone before. So we continue our trip. As we head south, my daughter and I proceeded to get extremely sick, like the kind of sick when you have to keep pulling over the side of the road and you know what? Well, we finally made it to the hotel and my daughter and I were just out of it. So as the other family members, my wife, my son, and my other daughter went off to see Yellowstone, we were pretty much holed up in the hotel the whole time in our angst of sickness. Finally, I felt good enough to go out and see some of the park. So as we were there on the last day, I was with my two daughters and we were walking around and seeing some of the geysers. Well, at this point, a major hailstorm started to come down. And so we were running to look for my wife and son and we couldn't find them. So we ran and took shelter in an outhouse. Yes, you heard me. An outhouse. At this point, I can only laugh because I couldn't cry anymore. As the hail pelted us on top of the outhouse, my wife finally discovered where we were, pulled up, and she got us, and we started heading back towards home. Well, I was still sick, and literally, my wife had to pull over every half hour to 45 minutes for me to get out of the car and do my business. Finally, I couldn't make it anymore, and we had to stay the night in Wyoming, which actually was just a few hours away from home. So we stayed the night, we drove home, and we got home. And I got to tell you, that trip was like one trial after the next. It's like one thing went wrong, then the next thing, and then the next thing. And it just didn't seem like there was any good days in sight. And that's what I'm talking about here. Having those days where it feels like just one thing is going wrong after the next. And then maybe a week, and then maybe a lifetime when it feels like that. And I'm here to tell you, this too shall pass. Well, I'm excited about the show today because my guest, JT Jester, has gone through a lot in his life. And we're going to discuss that right after Jessica shares with us a little bit more about who JT is.
JT Jester is a young entrepreneur, philanthropist, podcaster, and inspirational speaker based in Grosse Pointe, Michigan. A graduate of High Point University in North Carolina, JT is also an experienced mountaineer, extreme skier, boater, hunter, and adventurer who has made it his life mission to encourage people to untether from natural or self-imposed limitations and live full, passionate lives. Born with life-threatening Vactoral syndrome, as well as extreme dyslexia and short-term memory loss, he established the J.T. Mestaw Foundation to bring encouragement, joy, and laughter to people with physical and learning disabilities and their families. J.T. hopes that through sharing his life experiences and other people's stories, people will be reminded there truly are no bad days and to never give up.
Well, hey, JT, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Mike, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Great. You know, you were diagnosed with Vactoral syndrome, which is a rare combination of several birth defects. Can you explain to us what that condition is and how it affected you growing up?
Yeah. So like you said, Vactoral syndrome is something that is found at birth. And nowadays, they're able to diagnose it a little bit faster. Before birth and be able to realize what's going on. But for me, that was not possible. And so my journey started out with Vactoral syndrome with the GI. You can have different birth defects with this thing. And so I had the GI issues, which is from my esophagus all the way down to my anus, and from spinal cord problems I had. You can also have heart problems. Limb deformities and other aspects of Vactoral syndrome. Vactoral syndrome is an acronym for all the different aspects of it. So for me, right at birth was very important that the doctors, you know, figured out what was going on, and they immediately, you know, had to repair my esophagus, what they call tracheoesophageal fistulas. And these are endless pathways that don't connect to your stomach, and And then I was born without an anus. And I had a colostomy bag for the first few years of my life. And throughout those first several years, lots of surgeries to correct my GI system. And that was, you know, the main focus for many years. And then as I grew and got older, other aspects of Vectoral syndrome started to pop up, which was expected. And those were, majority was, it was the spinal cord problems. I had, by middle school, I had my first spinal cord surgery, which was, what they call a tethered spinal cord. It's where your spinal cord attaches to your sacrum nerves. And so as you're growing, it's pulling on those nerves. And in middle school is when we really started to realize how severe that was. And so the doctors performed surgery to release the tethered spinal cord. I was blessed with the good Lord, blessed me with amazing doctors and throughout my whole journey, but with that surgery as well. And then in high school, the tethered spinal cord happened again, tethering to the scar tissue, but causing some of the similar symptoms. And so, yeah, so my life for the, you know, the first first 16 years of my life, I had about 16 operations.
Oh, wow.
And for, you know, one stint of time, I had spent over 200 and some days in the hospital for the bowel side of things. And so it was, you know, the medical stuff was a big journey. But my book, I wrote a book called No Bad Days. Mm-hmm. And in No Bad Days, the title comes from those days that I was in the hospital. My dad leaned over my bedside and said, "JT, I'm so sorry for what you're going through." And I turned to him and I said, "Dad, it's okay. There's no bad days. There's only hard days." Mm. And we get through those. And so that's where this book came about. And the book has my story in it, but it really pulls in so many amazing stories that I can't imagine what these individuals had to go through to get to where they are now. And it's just been a really fun journey with this book, No Bad Days.
Yeah, that's great. And so obviously everything that you went through was the inspiration for writing your book, No Bad Days. And so in doing some research about you, I see that one of your passions is adventure travel, which is great. I love to travel myself, maybe not so much adventure wise, but I also watched the video of you on YouTube. And I saw that you climbed Mount Kilimanjaro.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. You got to tell me about that experience, brother.
Yeah. So I have to fill you in on one little medical part of this journey is, you know, in life, we all have naysayers that tell us, you know, you can't do something.
Oh, yeah.
And I've had those for the medical side of things. But I've had a great team around me, a great, tribe. And my parents never said I couldn't do something. And with my medical stuff, I have to do a procedure that flushes out my intestines, like an enema, but mine's through my belly button. I have a port in my belly button that allows me to put in my solution and flush it all out. Well, we had to figure out how to do that on the mountain and had to figure out how to do that through a lot of my journeys of adventure sports. And so when I was graduating college, a friend of ours said, "JT, you know, what is something that you want to check off your bucket list? You know, this is a big time in your life that you have a little time to try something." And this individual, it taught me so much in life about the outdoors and just really developed my passion for the outdoors. And I said, "I want to climb a mountain." I'd climbed 14ers in Colorado and done a lot of that. And he said, "Okay, well, what mountain?" And I said, "What about something bigger than what I've done before?" And we both came across the idea of doing Kilimanjaro. And it was a remarkable experience. We trained in Colorado and spent some time there. And then from there, went to Tanzania, where we would climb Kilimanjaro, and we had to figure out my medical supplies for the mountain. And then we had to figure out, you know, sort of a, we love setting goals. And so one goal was to reach the summit on the fourth day. And that was for a few factors. We love setting goals, but the other side of things was the medical. And with the medical, we needed to kind of get off on and off the mountain as quick as possible, just to make sure everything worked out. I can always tell you more about that journey. We actually made it to the summit on the fourth day, which was our goal. And it was a remarkable four-day expedition.
Right. And the average, I believe, isn't it like 6-7 days for people going up there?
Yeah, 6-7 days. We did what they call Umbe route. Umbe route is one of the more challenging routes. That's why we were able to ascend as quickly as we did. Mm-hmm. It also is a single track. So it was just us on the mountain. And I think one day we came across a group of people and that was it. So it was so peaceful and just enjoyable. But I say peaceful and enjoyable, which it was, and an experience of a lifetime. But it came with our own challenges too. And those challenges, the first day, the second day, were smooth as could be. And in the challenge of hiking, but physically we felt good. But then on that third day is when I reached an elevation of my maximum elevation I've had ever been, which is Mount Elbert in Colorado. And so over 14,500 some feet. And then that's when they say altitude sickness can become a factor, is when you pass the elevation of your last highest, you know, elevation you've been to. And so ended up getting a headache. And then from there, we were able to spend some time at that elevation and then ascend to our base camp. And that was at 16,000 feet where I performed my medical procedure there. And we joke because we tried to get a Guinness World Record for the highest bowel management treatment on the mountain. Guinness didn't go for it, but
yeah, I'm sure that would have been it though.
I think so. So from there, I did my treatment there, and my treatment, I just didn't feel it went so well on that night. And so we went to bed because we had to get up super early for our alpine start. And getting up at 4 a.m. to leave at 4 a.m. and heading up the mountain, we had gotten to a spot where there was glaciers, and we had to cross this section of ice that was probably 30 to 40 feet wide. Now, the glaciers weren't supposed to be there at this time of year in October.
Yeah.
And we had to, use, our tools and our guides to help get us past that obstacle. And once we got across it, our guides, Simon, looked at us and said, guys, this is Lottie, his wife, and myself is who were doing this together. And Simon said to us, guys, there's no turning around anymore, because of the danger, as well as now we're going to be going up very steep terrain, and to come back down this terrain is dangerous. And so we started our ascent for the rest of the mountain to the summit. And on this journey, this is when I started to get sick, and my stomach is what started. And the stomach, I call it sort of a hot stomach, and what comes with that, you can imagine what comes with that. And so the sickness grew and the dehydration was accelerated. And then from there, I got altitude sickness. But there became a point where you could see the Kilimanjaro sign. And I remember this just amazing experience of this, the whole team that was with us, of all of us, just the excitement and joy of seeing that sign.
Yeah.
And we felt like we were running, but we were just walking to get to that sign, and we made it there. And it was an amazing accomplishment that, I never thought I'd be able to do. And the good Lord was there to support us through that journey. And so I talk about that because it's in my book, No Bad Days, and it's been a fun adventure.
Yeah.
But the cool thing is like in this book, it encapsulates so many great adventures of so many people and how that they have put their best foot forward.
That's awesome. Praise God. What an adventure indeed, for sure. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, I read that you're really into adventure travel. So how did that become an interest for you? And what are some of your favorite challenges that you've achieved besides Mount Kilimanjaro?
So I have to say that I touched on this a little bit, but one person in particular in my life, Lottie Slough, and his wife, Martina, mm-hmm. who did Kilimanjaro with us or with me, we had met at a young age for me, and in the skiing world is how we were introduced. I loved mm-hmm. skiing and had a passion for it. And Lottie, he came into our life as a ski coach mm-hmm. and he taught me so many amazing life lessons. But I think the biggest one was just the joy and love for trying something new and doing a new activity. So he taught me from skiing to ice climbing to mountaineering and kayaking, hunting, all sorts of things. And he continues to push me to go out and try new things. And so I've really sort of entered an area where I really am enjoying endurance sports, and he's been there right beside me and been able to push me along. And so I have some fun ones coming up and some other ones that I've got to do with him that were spectacular.
Oh, that's great. Now, so do you have some more travel plans for this year to do some other stuff?
Yeah. So this year I have a paddle event in the Detroit area, where it's home for me. It's 61 miles of paddleboarding. It's called Bridge to Bridge. So it's from Blue Water Bridge up in Port Huron, Michigan, to Belle Isle and the Belle Isle Bridge. And so it's about 61 miles of through a river and then from there crossing a lake. And so that will be a really fun expedition for me and the others that are joining. And it's a fundraiser for my foundation. And so mm-hmm. it will hopefully be a very fun and a successful one. And then another event that I'm doing with some friends is it's called Rim to Rim, and it's in the Grand Canyon.
Yes. You know, I've heard of that before. I've heard of
yeah.
that. Yes.
Yeah. And so that one is going to take some good old training and have started already, but that's going to be really a cool one. And I'm excited to be able to do that. And some other ones I'm trying to work on here, but yeah, it's been a fun journey with those sports and stuff.
Yeah. And it sounds good. It just goes along with your title of your book, you know, No Bad Days. And that's a great title. So what do you tell people about not having hard days? Because it seems like people may have hard days from time to time. What would you say to someone about having not a hard day?
Yeah.
You know?
So, you know, I think the biggest thing is, you know, there are no bad days. Every day is a blessing. Mm-hmm. Wake up and can breathe the air around us and be with the people we love. And we're so, so blessed every day. But, you know, there are going to be challenges and there are going to be hard days in our life. But there's no bad days for sure. And, you know, mm-hmm. in those hard days, you need to really find, you know, what is going to get you through that. And for me, it's been finding my tribe, finding the people in my life that can propel me through and really push me to, you know, get through those hard times. And I was blessed mm-hmm. at a young age to, you know, to have my parents, but also to have, you know, just great friends and doctors there along the way. Mm. But I always say, you know, your tribe starts with the good Lord, family and mm. friends. And, you know, those people can help motivate you, push you and get you through those things. My grandma always says to me, show me your friends and I'll tell you who you are. Mm. And I think that that's so powerful because it's so true that your friends, you know, dictate your future and the people you put in your life, you know, is what you'll become. And so always, you know, another thing is just finding people that are And my, as my dad always says, find people that are smarter, better, stronger at all different areas. And that's what's going to help you to grow. It's what's going to help you to learn and get you to, you know, a better place in your life.
Yeah. You know, you have some core values to help people have no bad days, including everybody's story matters. Can you touch a little bit on that?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, No Bad Days is a book about stories. It encapsulates so many amazing stories. But, you know, every one of us have challenges. Every one of us has our own story that we're writing every single day. And our stories all matter. And being able to share each other's stories, the way I look at it is, in my life, sometimes this question comes up, you know, with your medical, with your education challenges, you know, how is there no bullying, or how is there no, and of course there are those things, but one thing that has been huge is being able to be open to others. And by sharing what's going on in my life or in your life and telling the challenges that you are facing, to someone you trust, of course, allows you to, allows them to understand you, allows them to open up to you. And in return, you both have a great communication path that allows each other to help each other in those hard times. And, but also in those good times. And, and it's, you know, finding your tribe is so important, and sharing your story is equally important too. And we're all going to fall. We're all going to fall sometimes. And knowing how to get back up is something very crucial. A lesson that I've learned from a good, from our good friend Lottie.
Right. And that is one of the values that you talk about, learning to fall. So can you explain a little more about that?
Yeah. So learning to fall, well, I'll tell you a story of how learning to fall came about. And this one is really fun. Lottie, that first day that I met him, and we were getting on the chairlift to go up to the top of the mountain. And he said to me, he said, I'd been skiing for many years. I'd been racing, and he would get up, you know, on the chairlift, and we're going up, and he says, GT, today we're going to learn how to fall. That's where the title came from.
Okay.
And, but it's true. We got up to the top of the mountain. We got to the edge of the mountain, the hill side there. And he said, okay, JT, follow after me. We're going to fall to the left. We're going to fall to the right. And so we were doing this, falling. And I'm like, this is pointless. Why are we doing this? But as we continue to do it down the mountain and down the run, you know, halfway down the run, you start to realize, okay, well, I'm actually getting better at falling, which sounds interesting. But what you are learning is how to get back up, how to get back up quicker, how to get back up the right way, how to fall so you don't get injured. And that in skiing is so important, especially when you're racing or doing different things, is being able to prevent that fall or to be able to get back up. But it's inevitable. It's going to happen. And with that, in life, it's going to happen. We're going to, we're going to fall on our faith. We're going to fall in our, you know, relationships. We're going to fall, you know, in work or whatever other aspects of our life that it's going to happen. But knowing that it's a learning experience, and also learning that you can get back up and you can move on is crucial. And, you know, one of the biggest parts of that is who's going to be there to help you get back up. You can always rely on the good Lord, but you can also rely on the people that you choose and He would want you to choose to put in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great point. And that's very practical for everybody. Not everyone's an adventure seeker or going on these hikes or hike or climbing Mount Kilimanjaro, but you might be struggling at work. You might be struggling at school, or just different relationships. Totally. And you might fail, but you got to learn how to kind of get up.
Yes.
And surround yourself with some good people. I think that's very, very important. JT, we're starting to wind things down now, and I appreciate you coming on the show with me. How can people find out more about you and kind of everything that you're doing?
Yeah. So No Bad Days, the book, can be found on jtjester.com. Also sold anywhere books are sold. But jtjester.com has sort of all the access to what I'm doing, my podcast and my social media, and as well, JT Jester Speaks is where you can find me on all social medias, and follow along and see what's going on, but also to share your story and to be a part of sharing individuals' stories and how they've gotten through things. So yeah, it's been fun.
As we close out, JT, what would you say to someone who they just seem to be in a situation where they're just having bad day after bad day, difficult time? They just can't seem to get out of this funk. What kind of encouraging word can you leave with our listeners today about that?
Yeah. For me, you know, it starts every morning is getting up and putting a smile on, and that can be hard. Being able to just put your best foot forward and show the joy and realize that you are going to have a hard days, but be able to have those individuals that can be there for you and support you. And also, you know, the good Lord is always there with us, and he's always there to pray to and talk to and to have a relationship with, to get you through those hard days and stay motivated and keep going with your best foot forward.
Amen. That's a great word. JT, thank you so much for taking your time out of your day and joining me on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Mike, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here.
You got it. Bless you, sir.
God bless.
Well, I hope you really enjoyed that interview today. I sure did. And JT had some really good things to say. And I hope you're feeling better about your days ahead if you're going through a difficult time right now. Once again, thanks for joining me today. If you want to follow along on Facebook, you can find me at the S Squared Podcast. That's the S2 Podcast with Mike Segovia. Go ahead, look me up on Facebook, give me a like, and let me know what you think about the show. Coming up in the next few weeks, we're going to have some more exciting guests that hopefully will brighten your day, entertain you, and give you hope if you are going through a difficult time. Until next time, everyone, thanks again for joining me on the S Squared Podcast.
That will do it for this edition of the S Squared Podcast. This show is brought to you by PFC Audio Video. Find out how you can start your own podcast at pfcaudiovideo.com. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you on the next edition of the S Squared Podcast. Have you ever imagined being the host of your own podcast, only to shoot the idea down because you didn't know where to start? Well, you're not alone. Many individuals can feel overwhelmed by the idea of podcasting, but don't let that hold you back. PFC Audio Video has been in the industry for over 30 years, and we want to partner with you. From booking guests and writing scripts, to recording and editing the audio, to hosting your show on all the popular podcast platforms, PFC does it all. Stop waiting for one day and let us help make your podcasting dream a reality. Head on over to pfcaudiovideo.com to schedule your complimentary consultation.